Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 39 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Naya Andweza.
I just thought their boyfriend, girlfriend, or husband or wife.
A victim of a police-involved shooting may have been kidnapped.
A newly built Floyd County school is currently unusable.
The U.S. Senate Majority Leader may face a new challenger in 2020.
Kentucky's Republican Governor Matt Bevin supports medical marijuana.
Legislation that would ban the use of tobacco and nicotine products in school property is advancing in Frankfort.
In sports, several 16th region teams are winding down regular season action tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Showers likely tonight, mostly clear with a low around 28. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Police say two people who were dead after an officer-involved shooting in Oldham County were connected to an Ohio abduction. According to WLKY, police received a call about a distressed female at a gas station that was forced into a vehicle by a male. Terrell Pounds then led police on a pursuit with his abductee, Skylar Williams, that ended with both dead. Kelly Mayhew is a clerk where the two were first spotted. He says Williams asked for help when they first arrived.
When she came in, she didn't say it real loud. She just kind of moved her lips to help me.
According to police, when the pursuit ended, Pounds fired a gun inside the vehicle and then was shot and killed by police. Williams later died from a gunshot wound, but it is unclear if she had been shot by Pounds or by the police.
Two teens heading to school were injured in Salyersville crash this morning. The crash happened just before 8 a.m. on Route 7 near the Mountain Parkway in Salyersville. Officials tell LEX18 a pickup truck with two juvenile occupants slid on a patch of ice, hitting another vehicle. The driver of that vehicle was not injured, but the jaws of life had to be used to free a 16-year-old girl from the truck. She was taken to Pikeville Medical Center with non-life-threatening injuries. The other juvenile in the truck had minor injuries. Names of those involved have not been released.
A death investigation is underway in Pikeville after a 44-year-old Michelle Smith was found dead in her driveway on Saturday morning. Officials say they're not sure what caused her death, but a robbery could have played a role. Childhood friend Heather Ellis says she was surprised to find out about the death.
She was so trusting and so giving and so kind to people. She didn't have to lose her life.
Officials say they're going through evidence before releasing the exact cause of death.
The search continues this weekend for a missing Richmond woman. The Ohio Midwest chapter of Texas EquiSearch will be setting up a command center for the search February 16th in Richmond. They will be searching for Savannah Spurlock, who was last seen over a month ago leaving a bar in Lexington. The two men she was last seen with and a third party were brought in and questioned. They claim they had nothing to do with her disappearance.
A Kentucky couple was sentenced on Monday for filing fraudulent claims to insurance companies and Medicaid patients. Herschel J. Arrowwood of Breathitt County will serve 12 months and a day in prison before spending another 12 months and a day on house arrest. Arrowwood's wife, Lisa, was sentenced to 12 months and a day on probation for helping handling the billing information. Terry Harold, who helped manage the operation, also pleaded guilty to fraud. The couple and their company, Arrowwood Med Ambulance, have agreed to pay back nearly $250,000 to Medicaid and Medicare and also face several hundred thousand dollars in related civil cases. The couple was charged for filing fraudulent bills between the fall of 2012 and August 2015.
A newly built Floyd County school is currently unusable. The Renaissance Learning Center was built last September and cost roughly $13 million, most of the funds coming from the federal government. Officials were hopeful for students to be able to attend the school in October, but currently the facility lacks the water pressure to support important safety features, making it unsafe for students and staff. Floyd County Superintendent Danny Adkins spoke with WYMT. He says the main concern was the school's ability to handle fire hazards.
the building was completed by September, but at that point, I think there was a realization made that the water pressure wouldn't support the fire's anti-fire suppressant system.
Atkins says the Army Corps of Engineers has two plans as to how to get water to the facility, but currently with no timetable.
The life of a fallen Lexington firefighter is being remembered years after her passing. WKYT reports Lieutenant Brenda Cowan was killed on February 5, 2004. Cowan was the area's first African-American firefighter and was responding to a call when she was shot. Jeff Godby is a firefighter who worked with Cowan on that day. He says the day is one he'll never forget and serves as a reminder that first responders are constantly putting their lives on the line.
I remember the dispatch. I remember what we saw when we first pulled up. A lot of things about that day I remember. I remember the gunshots. It kind of stands out there to let you know that this is a dangerous business.
The Lexington Fire Department launched a camp last year in Cowan's memory to inspire young people to help others. The man responsible for Cowan's death was officially sentenced in 2009 and is currently serving 65 years behind bars. We'll have a look at some more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Ruth Hunt Candy Company, where candy makers are busy packing gourmet chocolates in heart boxes and tins for your special Valentine. The most popular Valentine gifts are delicious long-stemmed strawberries and grapes available February 11th through 14th. Candy makers hand-dip 30,000 strawberries and 400 pounds of grapes for Valentine's Day. Located at 550 North Maysville Road in Mount Sterling or 213 Walton Avenue in Lexington. Online at ruthhuntcandy.com.
The U.S. Senate Majority Leader may face a new challenger in 2020. WMKY's Grant Johnson has the story.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer invited former fighter pilot Lieutenant Colonel Amy McGrath to challenge Senator Mitch McConnell in 2020. According to WKYT, McGrath visited the Democratic Party headquarters last month to discuss the 2020 race with Schumer and did not rule out the possibility. McGrath lost her bid to unseat Representative Andy Barr narrowly in Kentucky's 6th congressional district race in the midterm election in 2018. However, the campaign gave people hope that she could gather the support. McConnell is allegedly meeting with a super PAC to create a plan of action if McGrath chooses to run. For WMKY News, I'm Grant Johnson.
The National Rifle Association is praising a new Senate bill that, if passed, would allow concealed to carry without a permit in Kentucky. A growing number of states across the nation are allowing permitless carry, sometimes called constitutional carry. Opponents say the bill would move Kentucky in the wrong direction. Brenda Martin with Moms Demand Action says Kentuckians should address the safety of children.
With the violence level the way it is, I think we should address more so making it more safe, making it safer for our children and for our citizens. And I think if we have to take a few extra steps to do that, then we should be willing to do so.
The bill's sponsor, Republican Senator Brandon Smith, says he proposed the bill because he's heard questions from Kentuckians that he can't answer.
The Kentucky lawmaker is pushing to eliminate a state requirement that landowners make a, quote, reasonable effort to capture or vaccinate feral cats on their property. Republican Senator Paul Hornback says the law is unenforceable and it's time to drop it.
We've domesticated cats. And they were wild to begin with. And no different from whether it's coyotes and Mother Nature kinds that takes care of all that stuff and always has and always will. So why should we interfere with that?
National cat protection organization Alley Cat Rescue says there is little consensus about feral cat laws across the country, but notes that vaccinating as many cats as possible reduces the spread of rabies.
Solar energy advocates are gearing up for another legislative battle this year with the introduction of Senate Bill 100. WUKY's Josh James explains.
This year's solar measure mirrors some elements of a controversial bill that failed in the final hours of the 2018 session. That bill could have, among other things, reduced the credit solar customers receive when they sell their excess power back to utility companies. Utilities argue the current system is unfair because they have to absorb the cost for transmission lines and maintenance. Solar advocates view the efforts as an attempt to force solar customers to subsidize monopoly utilities. This time, bill sponsor Brandon Smith, a Republican from Hazard, says he tried to bring the two sides together.
What I'd hope to do is to couple it more with the utilities so there's not this adversarial relationship, because we have to have the grid in order to make it work. Solar on your home, if you're standalone, is great, but if you want to mesh back in the system, we need the utilities.
But fans of solar say SB 100 does not address any of their fundamental concerns. In a press release, the Kentucky Solar Industries Association said the bill might mean solar homeowners are credited, quote, as little as 3 cents per kilowatt hour for energy they generate in the morning, and then forced to pay 10 cents in the evening to buy that power back. The bill has yet to be heard in committee. In Frankfort, I'm Josh James reporting.
Kentucky's Republican governor says he would be happy to sign a bill to make marijuana legal for medical purposes. WKYT reports that Bevin told a community forum in Stanford, Kentucky on Tuesday his teenage nephew died after battling cancer. Bevin says his nephew suffered near the end of his life, suggesting medical marijuana can provide relief to people experiencing similar pain. However, Bevin says his support for a bill legalizing medical marijuana would depend on how the bill is written. Republican State Senator Stephen West filed Senate Bill 170 that would make medical marijuana legal in Kentucky. West stated the bill is identical to the House Bill 136 that was filed by Republican Representative Jason Neems.
Legislation that would ban the use of tobacco and nicotine products on school property is advancing in Frankfort. House Bill 11 is advancing through the House and, if passed, will create a statewide policy prohibiting tobacco and nicotine use at K-12 schools. Franklin County Schools implemented a tobacco-free policy in 2011, which Superintendent Mark Kopp says drastically reduced use on school campuses and at sporting events.
There are no secondhand smoke issues, and if there ever is someone who uses those products, this policy gives us the teeth to go ahead and enforce that and put an end to that.
About 9 in 10 adults in the latest Kentucky Health-issued poll support tobacco-free school policies in their community.
Meanwhile, a West Virginia legislative bill passed the Health Committee Tuesday. If passed, the bill will not allow anyone under the age of 21 to purchase tobacco products, including vapor products. Lawmakers who pushed for the bill say smoking activity in West Virginia is the worst in the country. Justin Swenson owns the Newfound Vape Shop in Charleston. He tells WSAZ his sales will be affected, but he is still for the bill.
I'm in this for the adults. You know, I'm in this for the people that do want to quit. I'm not really in it for the ones that just kind of want to look cool doing it.
If the bill is passed, it will go into effect 90 days after its approval. Taking a look at our region's weather. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 28. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 55. Thursday night, a 40% chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a low around 42. Friday, a 40% chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a high near 48. Friday night, rain likely with a low around 29. Saturday, rain and snow likely with a high near 39. Taking a look at our region's temperatures. In Lexington, it's 41. In Mount Sterling, it's 39. In Inez, it's 44. In Grayson, it's 42. In Ashland, it's 42. In Maysville, it's 40. In Flemingsburg, it's 39. And here in Moorhead, it's 41 degrees.
On our feature segment today, softball season is underway, and for the Moorhead State University team, it's both a new year and a new coach. WMKY's Tanner Boyd has more.
Samantha Jones played in an NCAA Super Regional as a student athlete, and now she finds herself as head coach of Moorhead State University's softball team. She comes to the team with extensive coaching experience, having spent a 2-year stint as an assistant coach for the University of Miami. There, she helped culminate one of the best offenses in the school's history. MSU's season kicked off last weekend during the Phyllis Rafter Memorial Tournament in Kennesaw, Georgia. The Eagles did not fare well there, dropping all 4 games, but you won't see Jones worrying. She says adjusting with a new team, especially early in the season. is all part of it.
I mean, that's the game of softball, is just, and the game of baseball is just really learning and understanding how to deal with failure, because failing more times than not, it meaning that you're successful at our game. And, you know, we just play a game of failure, and that right there is adversity and challenging for any person, and whether it's in the sport or just in the world in general.
This isn't Joan's first time at the helm of a team. She jumped into the world of coaching following her collegiate career, leading the Asbury Eagles from 2013 to 2016. However, she says she is glad to have some experience on the bench as tweaks are made to the team as a whole, especially with the newcomers.
I think any freshman going into their first game, you get your first game jitters. And I think the upperclassmen did a good job of helping them calm down and understand that, you know, this is one of 50 games that you're going to play this season. Whether you get the outcomes that you want or whether it's maybe felt like a little bit of a fail, you know, that's just a game. It doesn't define you as a player. It doesn't define your season.
Jones was appointed as the new head softball coach in July and has been working with the team since they returned to campus in the fall. She says despite the rough start, she doesn't think a turnaround is too far off.
What they've done in the fall is preparing them for what they're going through now. And what you'll see is how quickly we're able to adapt and adjust in games, you know, and in between games, in between weekends is going to be huge. And the amount of work they put in the fall is going to be able to show us how quickly they are able to adapt.
She's already seen one thing during play that does need adaptation. The offense was a little underwhelming during the team's first outing, and Jones says she saw it affect the pitching staff as well.
You know, when we're not hitting, and it's a two-run or a one-run or even a three-run ball game, there's a lot of pressure that's being put on the pitchers, and we need to help alleviate some of that by putting some good swings on the ball and making sure that we're doing the right things on defense so they feel confident enough of throwing, you know, the pitches on the plate, but then also working one to two balls off the plate and not feeling like they have to do it by themselves.
And while all those adjustments are being made, Jones plans to have everyone where they need to be when the Eagles start conference play in March.
Once that happens, that's when we really have almost your set lineup or your set rotation, and you really kind of get a good feel of what's happening. So until then, we're going to continue to move pieces around like a chess match and really see who can do what, when, and where, and how they react to those things.
And Jones says in regards to all the hard work her team is putting in, she has no doubt they're up for it.
And that's one thing that I know and our staff knows that we can rely on our team, is they're always going to work. You know, they're always looking to find ways to be better. So I'm never questioning their work ethic in the weight room and on the field and obviously in the classroom. So they're going to find a way. They're very perseverant and they're very resilient.
The Eagles return to action Friday when they head to Statesboro, Georgia for the Eagle Round Robin. They'll play 5 games during the event, with things getting started against Mount St. Mary's at 2 o'clock Friday. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd.
It's 4:48 and 41 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host here with Naya Andweza, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this Wednesday afternoon. Grant Johnson has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 35 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for summer camps designed for academically gifted middle and high school students. More information online at wku.edu/gifted.
Regular season action in the 16th region is winding down this week. For WMKY Sports, I'm Grant Johnson. A few teams in the 16th region will be in action tonight. The girls of Bath County host Raceland, the Lady Cats, at 16 and 13 in this season, while the Rams are at 10 and 15. 14 and 12 Lewis County hosts Nicholas County. 11 and 16 Fairview travels to Russell. The Red Devils stand at 22 and 5. And 7 and 17 Elliott County faces off with Wolf County on the road. In boys 16th region action tonight, 17 and 11 Morgan County hosts Phillips. Menifee travels to Robertson County. 11-16 Fleming heads to Sayre, and the 19-18 Greenup Musketeers host Pierrest. All those games tonight are scheduled to tip off at 7:30 p.m. The Round County girls basketball team is preparing for the big game against Boyd County on Friday. Coming off a 59-55 loss to Lexington Catholic last night, the Lady Vikings are getting ready for their final game of the regular season. Head coach Matt Stroke says practice for the game can wait until Thursday.
Now, I still got the girls beat up and banged up, and so we're going to have them take today off, and we want to work on some things and kind of work out some kinks just so we know when it comes district time, the girls are ready to go and whatever offense or defense we're trying to run.
Friday night's game tips off at Boyd County at 7:30 p.m. The Vikings are preparing for their final two games of the regular season. Rounds guys stand at 22-4 and are looking to shake off two road losses over the weekend tomorrow night with Fairview. Round coach Sean Thacker says the coaching staff watched a lot of game film to prepare for practices this week.
We got to concentrate. Just got to continue to get better defensively is one thing, and make sure that we just got to get better at being able to get those big key stops. When you're playing with the lead, sometimes you can get the one here or there. When you're playing from behind, you got to get them all.
Round tips off against Fairview Thursday at 7:30 p.m. They play their final regular season game on the road at Madison County. The schedule for the 64th District Tournament has been set. WMKY's Kennelly Roberts has the story.
Ashland Blazer will host this year's tournament with the Tomcats facing off with Rose Hill Christian at 6 p.m. on Monday. Boyd County Girls will face off with Fairview in the girls' tournament opener on February 18th at Ashland Blazer. Tip-off is set for 7:45 p.m. The girls' championship game against the host school, Ashland Blazer, will be played at 7 p.m. on February 20th. The boys' championship is set for 7 p.m. on Thursday, February 21st. Both the winner and the runner-up in the 64th District will advance to the regional tournament in Moorhead. For WMKY News, I'm Keneally Roberts.
The Moorhead State University men's basketball team is preparing to face in-state rival Eastern Kentucky University tomorrow evening. The Eagles have dropped their last two games but are hoping to turn things around against the Colonels. However, head coach Preston Spradlin knows that there are no guarantees in the Ohio Valley Conference.
We got a great league, as our fans know, and it's been a great league, been a competitive league for a long time, a lot of parity. You know, we've talked about on the show the top half of the league with some of those teams being very good, and the expectation is that they would beat other teams at the bottom of the league, but that doesn't always happen when you line them up on Thursdays and Saturdays.
The Eagles tip off against EKU at 7:35. After winning the 2018 Ohio Valley Conference Tournament title, the Moorhead State basketball team has been selected to repeat in 2019. The Eagles led preseason All-OVC honors with four players named the 17-member squad. Head coach Mike McGuire says that his team has been working hard to get ready for the upcoming campaign.
When the guys got back in January, we began workouts, individual workouts, and then 3 weeks from opening days when you can start official team practice. So, for us, we've been in team practice for the last couple weeks. Obviously, open up this Friday. We're excited about that, anticipating that.
This year marks the first time in 18-year history of the OVC preseason polls that the Eagles have been voted the league preseason favorites. MSU begins its season in Greenville, South Carolina on Friday when they open up a three-game series at Furman. The Moorhead State softball team is preparing to get back in action this week. The Eagles got off to a slow start last weekend, dropping four games during the Phillies Rafter Memorial Tournament in Kennesaw, Georgia. However, first-year head coach Samantha Jones says it's early in the season and she's not worried.
And that's one thing that I know and our staff knows that we can rely on our team is they're always going to work. They're always looking to find ways to be better. So I'm never questioning their work ethic in the weight room and on the field and obviously in the classroom. So they're going to find a way. They're very perseverant and they're very resilient.
The Eagles will be playing in the Eagle Round Robin in Statesboro, Georgia this weekend. They have two games Friday and Saturday and one game on Sunday. They will be getting things started at 2 p.m. Friday when they play Mount St. Mary's at 2 p.m. And that's going to do it for your sports for this afternoon. For WMKY, I'm Grant Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Women's basketball hosts Austin Peay tomorrow evening at 5:05 p.m., and men's basketball faces Eastern Kentucky at 7:35 p.m. Tickets available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose as investors grew hopeful that the Chinese and U.S. trade authorities would reach an agreement before a deadline in early March. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 117.51 at 25,543.27. The S&P 500 was up 8.3 at 2753.03. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 5.76 at 7420.38. And, of course, President Trump yesterday suggested that he might be open to postpone the current deadline of early March in terms of coming to grips with a trade deal so that both the U.S. and China can ultimately reach a deal. And this morning, the South China Post reported that Chinese President Xi Jinping will meet with U.S. delegates on Friday as both sides try to strike a deal. And this meeting would include Treasury Secretary Mnuchin and U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer. Energy stocks were strong today, and they got a boost from higher oil prices, with the S&P 500 energy sector gaining more than 1%, led by Newfield Exploration, Apache, and Devon Energy. In earnings news, shares of Hilton Worldwide jumped more than 6% after the company reported better-than-expected earnings, and Freeport-McMoRan surged nearly 7% following an upgrade by an analyst at Morgan Stanley. The analyst said the stock could get a bounce from higher copper prices. In the commodities markets, oil was up 1.7% at $53.98 a barrel. Gold was down 0.3% at $1,309.30 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a good day with the Stock 600 index up 0.6%. And Asia, or I should say markets in Asia, had a good day as well with the Nikkei up 1.38% and the Shanghai Composite up 1.8%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Home Depot and 3M, while the worst performers were Cisco and Apple. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Freeport-McMoRan and Activision Blizzard, and the worst performers were Dish Network and TripAdvisor. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Kroger up 39 cents at $28.97, Fifth Third Bank down 30 cents at $26.77, Marathon Petroleum up $1.76 at $63.63, UPS up $1.29 at $111.95, Toyota down 13 cents at $119.65, and Yum Brands was down 34 cents at $93.29. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Downtown Moorhead Incorporated and the Kentucky Folk Art Center, presenting the 14th Annual Moorhead Antique and Art Market March 1st and 2nd at the Moorhead Conference Center. Antique glassware, jewelry, furniture, juried art market, and on-site appraisals. Sneak peek on Friday, March 1st from 6 to 9 p.m. and 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, March 2nd. The 14th Annual Moorhead Antique and Art Market March 1st and 2nd at the Moorhead Conference Center.
Taking a look at some events coming up in our region, the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute will hold an open house and registration for spring classes 1 to 2 p.m. on Thursday, February 14th at the Moorhead United Methodist Church, located on West Main Street. Learn about upcoming classes, win door prizes, and enjoy refreshments.
The Department of Music in Theater in the MSU School of Creative Arts will present the classic French comedy Tartuffe, February 14th through the 22nd, in the Cottle Little Theater inside Breckenridge Hall at Moorhead State University. Performances begin at 7:30 p.m. and 2 p.m. on Sunday, February 17th. Tickets and information at 783-2170.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition. We had help from Joe Lewis, Tanner Boyd, Haley Stenham, Sarah Fashipe, Cassidy Stearman, Nacogdoches Miller, Cody Robinson, Grant Johnson, Keneally Roberts, Chaz Jenkins, Shaw Marie Mosley, Tandy Waldingford, Jack Caudill, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. KNN's Haley Hansen, WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Tanner Boyd. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH and Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Naya Andweza and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.